Welcome back to season 5 of the STEM Blazers podcast. In each episode of this podcast, we meet new, inspiring women in STEM and hope to share that inspiration with young girls and women through our conversations. My name is Gabby Locke, and I'm a STEM Blazers alumni. I'm a civil engineer student at Colorado State University, and I have my co-host, Vivon, here with me today. Vivon, did you know that today is Forgiveness Day?
I did not know that was a thing. What is it?
Well, it was like a religious thing, but I feel like I really connected with me today, honestly, because I was thinking about like mental health and stuff. And I was like, what's something I could forgive myself about today? So I wanted to ask you and our listeners, what's something that you would forgive yourself for today?
You know what? Lately, I've been snoozing my alarm to the last minute, and like, that's been really, really bad habit, but I'm going to forgive myself for that because I have been doing a lot of late night working. So I think I deserve a little bit of sleep. What about you?
So I'm in summer classes right now and our test week is coming up. So I'm going to say I'm going to forgive myself for self-criticism. I can do the most I can, the best I can with what I've got. And I just got to like be okay with that. So that's what I'm going to for today.
For sure. I love it. Well, thank you, Gabby. I feel like you're always showing me cool new days that I don't know existed, and I love it. My name is Vivon Vivon, and I'm a STEM Blazers alumni. I'm a design engineering student at Colorado School of Mines, and I'm ecstatic to meet our incredible guest this episode. Our guest of the episode is Atiyasha Kaur. Atiyasha is a data scientist at Dish Enterprise and also volunteers through Dish's Women's Network organization. Graduating from UNC Chapel Hill with her bachelor's in world history and quantitative economics and 2 minors, Atiyasha has utilized her interdisciplinary background to climb to greater heights. Not long after her bachelor's, she received her master's in policy economics. Her career experience includes data analytics, data science, and being a machine learning engineer. We're looking forward to hearing more about her journey today. Welcome to the podcast, Atiyasha. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just trying to reset on Monday and trying to catch, like, what was I even doing on Friday? That's where I am.
For sure. I feel you. Mondays are another beast to behold sometimes. Awesome. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about what your day-to-day looks like being a data scientist at Dish?
Yeah, it's a little bit all over the place. And I think in general, I'll just preface, this will be probably the running theme I talk about my career, is data science and ML engineering, all of this is still so new, even though at an industry level, you know, we've had Google Maps for years. We've had, you know, recommendation algorithms for YouTube and Netflix and all of that. But in this kind of industry, even like 5 to 6 years is like ancient news. Things are changing. And that means the role of a data scientist is constantly changing. What I would have been doing even when I joined Dish 2 years ago is different from what it is now. And I'm just prefacing this because I have a lot of engineers in my family. But a lot of them are civil engineers. My brother's a civil engineer, systems engineers. And I just kind of know how different my space is from them. So in that regard, on that note, one newer thing for data science is feature store. Right now, I'm focusing on leading a feature store initiative. I do work on the enterprise data science team at Dish, which Dish, I don't think a lot of people realize how many different branches it has. There's a massive retail component for 5G networks, Boost Mobile, all of that fun stuff. There's also Sling TV, Dish, the regular cable TV service, OnTech, which kind of is kind of like Geek Squad, but for like other stuff. And so those are all different teams that all have different data, obviously have different business lines. They need to communicate with each other. And even for a company as big as Dish, having an enterprise data science team and coordinating things is difficult. So that is why this feature store initiative was created. A feature store is essentially a fancy way of having a data set, a database, or a data layer, data lake, whatever you want to call it, for data that's specifically designed to be immediately used by models. And it's also supposed to be a way for teams to share like that kind of data, because processing that kind of data takes up so much time. I would say, depending on the team, that's like 60-80% of any data scientists. It's all data processing and feature engineering before you do modeling. And so that's a massive amount of redundant work. So to reduce that, but obviously, like, to be able to design something like that takes time. We're doing it through an AI platform, an auto machine learning platform called Data IQ that also has a feature store. Basically, every major company can think of under the sun has a auto ML tool right now. That's what Dish went with. And I'm using the feature store component in it to design how do we want to do best practices? How do we make sure that we're following AI ethics? How are we making sure that we're storing customer data, because we have so much customer data stored in the correct place? Is this even usable? Because some other team is dealing with the back end of actually making sure the software is working. We're making sure, like, is it connecting? We have really, like, huge amounts of data of a lot of people. And this is on interviews or when I'm talking to my friends in different industries. Some people considered a few thousand rows, a few million rows of data, a lot of data. For me, a lot of data is something that literally breaks an application like Data IQ. I mean, we have petabytes of data, or there's 600 columns of data that are necessary. Most software cannot handle this kind of data. How do we work on how these solutions work with Spark solutions and do that kind of stuff? So that is my focus of my day-to-day right now. So kind of at this point, almost like a little bit of product development as well as actual development as well.
Sorry, I'm just taking it. I was like, I can never complain about the amount of data.
No.
Because that's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's like, for me, I'm like, if you can store it on your laptop or computer, it's not big enough.
Wow.
That's my standard.
So you must have to have like a crazy strong computing system.
It's cloud computing. So the only way you can do something like this. So ironically, and this is why like things have just changed for data science and just data anything so fast, because just to give you perspective, flushing semi baby face, I graduated from high school in 2011. And have a smartphone at the time. Smartphones really weren't a thing. How we see YouTube and video platforms, that wasn't really a thing. So the kind of data and the kind of products out there were really, really different than now. And so in the past, you had to have GPUs on your computer to do all of this. Now we've gotten to the age where if you're doing anything of a decent size, you really can't do it locally, as I said. So you need rely on cloud computing. This is like AWS cloud services, things like S3 buckets or something, or Microsoft's is Azure. So Amazon has the biggest market share. It's like ridiculously big. And that's what Dish uses. And basically what they do is they run data centers for you. They have massive data centers all around the world that you connect to. So actually, it's gone the reverse where my personal computer doesn't have to be very big. And also for any data scientists, any coders out there, if you're doing data science projects, like don't spend a lot of money on like crazy GPU cards or crazy memory on your computer unless you're gaming or something. I'm about to buy a personal PC because you can open up a personal AWS cloud account to do your personal projects, to do your like schoolwork for very little money. So that's where we do all of this.
That's really good to know.
So kind of switching gears, how do you blend like your personal and professional life together when you try to make a decision in a potential career path you want to take? Since I know you kind of like were a little bit in everything. So how did you blend the two together when you decided?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of personal finance considerations. As a young woman from an immigrant family, how much do I want autonomy? Versus different paths in life. There's a lot of that went into it. So for instance, as I've made very clear, I come from an engineering family. A lot of young women are socialized not to like science, not to like math. It's uncool. I would say for my family, that wasn't necessarily the case. Well, what your family wants is not necessarily cool either. I was in an IT program in high school as a part of my internship with what is now a part of Dell. I was actively working on like a site where I was coding and testing out hardware for data centers and like writing program and working with a programming team for like actual production stuff. And I was like 17. So I had this experience and I was like, I don't want to be a developer right now. I don't want to be a coder. I got into a good engineering school. I don't want to do that. I want to go into the humanities. I want to go into policy. History was my first love. I want to do that. And that's a little bit of rebellion, but honestly, that's really what I wanted. And I still love history. And I think the critical thinking skills, the communication skills really help me right now. Because as I mentioned with the feature store stuff, things in data science are moving so fast. Like something that we're using 2 years ago is ancient knowledge. A year ago is already getting kind of old. So you, as a part of your day-to-day, you have to keep in top of like so many blogs, latest things that are coming out. And that has helped me a lot. So that was me. But then I still love numbers. And that is, I think, why I always advise people when coming into college that unless you have a true passion, like do try to go as undecided if it's possible. For instance, I knew my brother when he got into engineering school, he went as an undecided engineering major and only picked his track like 2 years in. And I think that was excellent because I knew what I liked. I had a semester or two of gen eds where I used that. I didn't waste that semester. But if you plan it out correctly, history or chemistry in college is worlds apart, even from AP Chem or AP History. Yeah. So what? Yes, right? And I see you guys nodding, by the way, for the podcast. And I had so many friends fall out with what they just were so sure that they wanted. And so that was really helpful because I love history. I did finish my degree. I realized I didn't want to go into academia because I don't like to write that much. It was a lot of writing. I like reading, but not the writing. I still love numbers. There's a comfort in numbers where you're just like, this is the answer. This works, doesn't work. I like that. And so there is that kind of personal journey of making sure that like I was keeping my options open, but also being realistic about this is what I like. And that's kind of how I fell upon economics. Like there's nobody who's has an economics degree in my family. So my family comes from India. I was actually born in India and moved to the States when I was 5. And in India, like economics is still very much of a, almost like a social, like liberal, like not as much involved with numbers. It's not considered a STEM degree. That has definitely changed massively right now. Like I think that's well known now. That's the transition that was happening in economics when I joined my college. So I'm an economics degree. From day one, I was coding, which I don't think is very obvious to people who look at my degrees. And I did like an econometrics course. I did honors thesis, and it was required in your honors thesis. It had to have a certain amount of rigor for coding and math. And like those things really pleased me while I still wasn't in, I was in a computer science major. I was an engineering major, but I was very much using numbers. But at the same time, economics kind of folded together my love of policy. And I think data science is still like this. You need to have domain knowledge. You need to know how the business works. You need to know like what industry you're in because otherwise your models won't make any sense. You need to know how they're being used. And so that kind of like policy history stuff is merged in with economics, which is why, and numbers. So that's how I melded those two together, as well as realizing what I like to do sitting 8 hours a day. Like, what would my day in the life be like? And so that's why I got my master's. And even for my master's, I took a year off to make sure this is what I wanted, did a bunch of personal side projects, including working at a museum that I really wanted to. And I do encourage that kind of gap. So I think that was good. And honestly, in the back of my mind, if policy wasn't going to work out, because my family, you don't have connections, that's what you need to work in policy. And that's been a huge struggle throughout my career to kind of break into that space because I want to use data science in a policy perspective, but I can't afford an unpaid internship. I still had my eye on the ball in the sense of like what I wanted to do, but you also have to realize the reality of your background, your connections, your money, your wallet. At this point, I hadn't made a dime of money until then, and I was almost 26. And on top of that, I really, really wanted to earn enough money to potentially support my mother and my brother going through college, because like we all pay for each other's college. That's just how the immigrant fam works. And so I was like, okay, let me just get a job, make some money. I won't make that much of a concession that I need to like my job. I need to be interested in it. I should utilize my degrees, but at the same time, let me build up some finances so that I can go back and pursue these dreams. So that's what I did. I worked at Lenovo in the data center group as a data analyst, data architect, but also honestly working a lot of data science initiatives here and there as well. So I feel like those 2 years were, you know, financially good for me. I felt really good in myself that I was financially independent, didn't have to rely on anybody. It also factored into marriage. As a South Asian young woman, marriage comes up a lot. Agency comes up a lot. Being able to support your family comes up a lot. And so, yeah, like these were all the considerations I had to make, but I still, if I was going to be in corporate, I at least wanted to be in data science. I wanted to keep on moving forward. So after 2 years, I had enough money where I was like, I'm going to apply to JPL again, 2020 shit. That dream went that way. But it was still like my philosophy is like, that's great because I actually got a gap year and I was able to really rethink about what I wanted, where I wanted to be, got to do some training, connected with people. And then I was still in North Carolina. And then I got this opportunity to work at an enterprise data science team. It was a huge next step for me based on what I was working, which is where I'm working now. That was 2 years ago, and moving by myself all the way to Denver. And on a personal level, I have no friends here, no connections. And I was 27, 28 at that time and no relationship. I was just like, I'm just doing this. This is happening now. And that's been great. I love Denver. I love this area and this job. I learned so much of this job, got to connect with people. I actually became a homeowner 8 months ago. So this is what my job has allowed me to do. This is what the finances have allowed me to do. However, on a caveat, still trying to stay true to myself, what I like. I stayed at an enterprise team. That's what I like. That's what I love. So that's kind of like the constant interplay that you have to have with like your personal and your career of like what matters at a given moment. And I think like one thing that I've talked to my friends about as well is like this year is for personal, this year is for career, and giving yourself those little switches so you don't hopefully completely override one thing. Yeah, that was my long spiel on that.
There's like so many great things that you touched on in there. And like, one, I love how you're able to connect your economic knowledge and like the what you learned about policy to your current work. And then I also really love that you touched on the fact that sometimes going straight out of college, sometimes there are like financial priorities that you need to take care of. And like, you can't always jump straight into exactly like what your plan is. Mm-hmm. But I also really like that you touched on the fact that while it's important to be financially stable and like fulfill your financial goals, it's also really important to, you know, stay true to yourself and do that soul searching and like still prioritizing like what you want in life and like staying true to yourself and your passion. So you had like a lot of great things. I was just like, yeah, I relate so much. Well, thank you, Atiyasha, for answering those first few questions. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Wendy Merchant with STEMblazers. Fall is once again upon us. Cooler weather, warm sweaters, and the 8th annual STEMblazers Mocktail Networking Social. This year we are shaking up the status quo. Our very own Allie Spray will share her thoughts and passion about creating opportunities for the next generation of women in STEM. We are beyond excited to have her. This event is all about building relationships between students and professionals working in STEM fields. When students meet and connect with professional mentors and role models, they can easily visualize themselves in non-traditional STEM careers. Past participants have shared this event is energizing and inspiring. We think so too. So mark your calendars for November 9th, and if you're in the Denver area, please come join us. For more information and to register, go to our website at www.stemblazers.org. This week's episode is brought to you by Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin is a global security and aerospace company that works in the research, design, development, manufacture, integration, and sustainment of advanced technology systems, products, and services. Lockheed Martin's space business works on critical tech for customers like NASA and the U.S. Space Force. Lockheed Martin provides funding and volunteer support to organizations like STEMblazers that support STEM career readiness and access for students from high school through the post-secondary years. To learn more, check out lockheedmartin.com/STEM. Now let's get you back to the conversation.
Welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation with Atiyasha with a few more questions. So, what is the biggest hurdle with your current position within your industry?
Oh, yes. I can immediately think of what that is. And that is something that has been a bit difficult for me to reconcile. Working in tech, I'm currently the only technical woman on my team left. And that is often, you know, the case. But besides that, it's the turnover rate. Tech has an insane turnover rate. Every single person who was on my team, current team, has left. Even people who joined after I joined. This February was when I hit my 2-year anniversary. So that insane amount of churn is painful. And I looked around. I was like, is this like my team problem? Is this like a dish problem? Is this an industry problem? Obviously, it's still going to be a little bit of a mixture of everything. I think a huge reason for turnover, not just where I was, but like literally everywhere in tech, was because of that job bubble that essentially existed for a while. And so that was happening everywhere. But that's just tech in general. You always have a healthy team, at least from what I've heard. You always have maybe a couple of people, technical people, because business people tend to stay longer, but people in technical and STEM roles, they move. And unless you have a few people, senior people who stay on, often, and they move very, very fast. And I looked at the numbers at every major company, and it's like normally between 1 and 2 years. And that kind of has a couple of implications at a personal level, at a team level. I care about my team. I care about connections. I think I mentioned that earlier. And I think one of the best advices that my dad gave, he's like, no, actually, instead of the money, sometimes you really have to care about the connections in your team, because these are the people you're spending all day with. Also, the respect factor in your team. Are you learning and in your team? Because you can really cash in that knowledge later on. But if you're not learning, then the money, you'll eventually, it'll blow up in your face, basically. I found that to be true. And so I've had to reconcile that where everybody around me is leaving. As I mentioned before, there's other opportunities coming up, but I had to take a step back and be like, what is necessary for me right now? I strongly believe that minimum 2 years, it takes you so long in any role. Anybody even taking an internship, you probably know that 3 months is like, by the time you sometimes barely start working, 6 months is normally the benchmark you're actually productive on a team. And if you're leaving within a year, year and a half, how are you gaining and building your skills? Like, I have that kind of professional pride. I want to be good at what I do instead of necessarily chasing certain things. So that was one thing that helped me stay. And at an industry level, like, because this is basically going to happen almost anywhere that I go, it really made me think about how the tech industry operates, what prioritizes. And once again, I didn't like set out to be in tech. And so it's been good. And I think it's been a valuable experience. And I definitely want to stay a bit longer because I just want to get a bit more senior in tech. But I have realized that I do eventually want to move to government or a policy group where there's a lot more stability in the teams. People don't turn through as fast. And also a reality check is, you know, we create bubbles around ourselves. If I worked in tech, most of my friends are going to be in tech. Most people I come to contact, and they'll make you believe that this is normal. It's not. To be an engineer, to be in STEM, you're not required to go through all of this. And I don't want to be. So I'll strategically kind of figure out like when I have enough skills to kind of go to a place where I won't have to deal with these things.
Definitely. I love what you said about like connections, because that's a huge thing for me. Like, I've discovered, like, even with my part-time jobs and stuff, like if I don't like the people around me or don't enjoy the environment that I'm in, it's really hard for me to like want to go to work or like want to be there and want to be productive. So I really love what you said about and what your dad said about connection. Like, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
So we are now going to jump into the rapid fire question round. So we're going to ask you a series of questions and you will answer them as fast as you can. Are you ready?
Yes.
What did you want to be when you were five?
An archaeologist.
Who is your female STEM icon?
Oh, goodness. Honestly, despite all the saga with the Bill and Melinda Gates thing, I love Melinda Gates. She's done a lot of what she has been given, and definitely RBG is number one in my heart and soul.
What is your favorite way to de-stress?
Stand-up comedy. I watch a lot, because I'm a lot of YouTube. It's mostly video essays, which are basically like podcasts with videos, and a lot of stand-up comedy clips and shows.
Love those too.
What is your favorite book?
I read a lot, but it's like seven books at the same time, normally. In the case for Women in STEM, it was really transformative to me, Invisible Women. I don't know if you've heard of this book. I know over time, like when I go into bookstores, it's popping up more and more as like in the business section. Highly recommend this book for any woman who wants to go into data, any woman in general, because it goes through data of different industries, including engineering, medicine field. That book especially was guiding me to like what my career goal is now in AI ethics and why I stayed in tech instead of leaving earlier, because it just hones in on the importance of if a woman is not there, like civil engineers, she's not there to design the sidewalks that are for women so that they're pushing the stroller down, like instead of focusing on commuters who are best, like male commuters and public transportation, or for my case in data science of like what kind of algorithm, like the Apple credit card was a big case of them auto denying female candidates because that's how algorithms work and they just figured it out, and like all these things where if I'm not in the room, if I'm not here to design this something like a facial store, you know, then if I exit, that doesn't help anybody. I'm here. Let me leverage what I have and use it to the best that I acknowledge that I can. So that was a really pivotal book. Highly recommend.
Noted. Add it to my list. What is something that you've been wanting to learn?
Oh, actually, I am not doing it this week because my schedule is insane. But fencing, I've been wanting to learn that forever. I tried to steal kendo classes in North Carolina, and then I moved here and I was like, swords. Yes, I also love fantasy and all that stuff, obviously. I'm like, but swords. So where I recently moved, there's a fencing academy near me and she's probably going to be like, he never shows up. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll try.
That's so cool. What is a hack that helps you in your career every day?
Yeah, so a big hack. So another thing that happened to me right after moving to Denver is I had struggled with mental health, had a major burnout when in middle of college. And basically it all led to, I was undiagnosed neurodivergent. So ADHD mixed with a nice sprinkling, a little bit of autism in there, didn't even know. And nobody around me, even other people who I've met who are neurodivergent, didn't even suspect. So I've had to learn a lot of hacks to make sure I actually get to work on time. So a big hack is these relationships. If I'm devoted to a project, if I care about it and make sure that other people are working with me, that it's a collaborative environment, then I feel accountable. I'm like, I think what a lot of young women are like, it's like, no, I promise it. I'm going to plan it out. People are counting on me. Like, this is, you know, you're going to do it. And so that's how I make sure I don't just not do anything and lay around, which does happen.
Totally valid. And then last but not least is, what is your favorite song?
I love Kendrick Lamar. So his recent album, I was so glad. I got to actually see him live for the first time and finally had enough money to pay for the concert tickets when he came to Denver this past fall.
I was there too.
Okay, it was awesome. The whole album, Die Hard. I think that's what that track is called. Yeah, I love that track. Also, big K-pop fan. I love Suga from BTS. And so he also toured
and he has a lot of track. And I love his mixtapes, specifically a lot of hip hop. And so he has amazing tracks. I think it's called,
I think that's what it's called. Awesome. I feel you on the Kendrick Lamar stuff. Love him. And for our listeners, make sure you check out the Stemblazers Mentor playlist on Spotify. We have all our guests' favorite songs all in one playlist to inspire us. And lastly, this is a question we ask all of our guests. Standing where you are right now, what advice would you give to your high school self?
Wow, I'm amazed by your work ethic. I wish I could have it back. It's insane how much you're shouldering, both at an emotional level at home, and you'll be in places that you'll achieve dreams that you didn't know you had and be able to do things you had never thought possible. So just keep on going. You're doing it right.
Ah, I love that. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We both really enjoyed talking to you. And on behalf of STEM Blazers, we want to thank you for sharing your story and inspiring girls and women to pursue STEM careers.
Oh, my pleasure.
Also, and thank you so much to our listeners for joining us for another STEM Blazers episode. If you want more information or to stay up to date with what we're working on, check out our website at stemblazers.org or our Facebook and Instagram pages at STEM Blazers. We'll catch you on the next episode.